Australia's relationship with China has historically been an interesting balancing act. But this year it seems tensions are rising. From the debate surrounding Huawei and surveillance, to the number of Chinese students in university, to the constant push and pull of values with recent comments made by the Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton.
Our issue, as I've said before, is not with the Chinese people, not with the amazing Chinese diaspora community that we have here in Australia. My issue is with the Communist Party of China and their policies to the extent that they're inconsistent with our own values. And in a, you know, a democracy like ours, we encourage freedom of speech, freedom of expression, thought, etc. And if that's being impinged, if people are operating outside of the law, then whether they're from China or from any other country, we're right to call it out.
Meanwhile, Labor's Foreign Affairs spokeswoman Penny Wong has criticised Scott Morrison's handling of Australia's relationship with the US and China, saying he lacks a long-term foreign policy plan with substance. But one of Australia's leading thinkers on foreign affairs and international relations believes we can reconcile our values with China's. In fact, he says we have to if we want to have a thriving relationship with China. Alan Gingell is the National President of the Australian Institute of International Affairs and the author of the Australian Foreign Affairs Journal essay entitled How to Handle China, in which he argues that with due diligence, Australia can seize on the opportunities presented by its relationship with China while handling the risks it presents. It's a pleasure to say he joins me now in the studio. Alan Gingell, welcome to RN Drive.
Thanks, Patricia.
In your essay, you say that we've never had to manage a relationship as important as the one we have with China. Can you start us off by explaining what you mean by that? Why is it so important? What is it about this relationship that we need to maintain it to this level?
Well, in some ways, Australia's foreign policy for the first sort of 70 years after 1942, when we got a foreign policy of our own at the end of the Second World War, has been relatively easy because the countries we've had to deal with, Britain, the United States, Japan, have either been similar culturally to us, to have similar values, and to be members of the same alliance system. China is the first time we've had to deal with a country so significant to Australia, but so different from us in terms of history, culture, and values.
So what is the relationship ahead for us? What do we need to do and the challenge to make the relationship work? I mean, you write that it's more than just having to choose between our economy and our security.
Yeah, we have to. Look, there's no Australian future you can think of, whether it's a happy, prosperous one or one which is clouded by trouble to which China is not central. So we can't wish China away. We've got to understand what we're dealing with, and we've got to factor these differences into the way we deal with it. If we only had to deal with countries which had similar values to ours, then life would be very simple for us, but it would be remarkably limited. The fact is that the countries in the world which are like Australia are very limited in number, and foreign policy is the way in which statecraft manages differences between countries. And so that's what we're faced with now, the need to balance both interests and values within a framework in which one way or another, China is going to continue to be central to our future.
But that relationship has fundamentally shifted, hasn't it? We've seen the much more muscular positions being taken by China. It's forced, if you like, Australia's hand on this issue.
Well, China has become much bigger. It's put aside the famous adage of Deng Xiaoping that China should hide its capabilities and bide its time, and that's inevitable. I mean, it's hard to hide when you're the second largest economy in the world, largest by some measures, and certainly under Xi Jinping, we're faced with a leadership which is more assertive, in which the role of the Communist Party is more central than it's been before. But look, you know, this is not the same government as the government of Mao Zedong, with which we originally established diplomatic relations. That was a much bloodier regime than the one we've got now. So the fact that China is more assertive and more nationalist is in some ways inevitable, and we've just got to work out how we can best deal with it while protecting our interests and the values that we believe in.
To make our relationship not just survive but thrive, we need to understand what China wants. What do they want, and how have their priorities changed, particularly in the last couple of years? I think it was a really different China relationship, for instance, for John Howard to manage.
Yeah, look, it was absolutely, wasn't it? In 2003, he received in Parliament House here, as speaking to the Parliament, the US President and the Chinese President on successive days. Just impossible to imagine that happening now. So, what has changed? What does China want? China wants what every country wants, Patricia. It wants a position in the world in which it gets what it wants at minimum cost to itself. And now that its economy, which is growing every year by the equivalent of the size of the Australian economy, it has more opportunities to do that.
You point out in your essay that of all the countries in the East Asia Summit, only Australia and New Zealand rate as full democracies in the Economist Intelligence Unit's annual democracy survey. How does this inform how we deal with governments in the region, given the disparity of values? That word actually was very much used by Peter Dutton, values like free speech and individual rights.
Yeah, well, but look, values is it's a very broad concept, isn't it? When we talk about values with China, we're mostly talking about the values of the system that we have, our free speech, rule of law, representative democracy. All those things are central to the way we see the world.
Richard McGregor, who's also written an essay on China for this journal, argues that security independence are the main issues going ahead. Here he is.
I think the issue is not so much that we're different countries, except that China is in conflict with our major security partner, the US, and really is en route to sort of changing our whole security architecture environment. When you get that conflict moving, into your major trading partner, I think that's the real issue. But if we think, have in our mindset that we're dependent, then I think that our foreign policy just becomes a sort of cascading series of concessions after that, because we think we're in the weaker position. So we've got to sort of try and avoid that mindset.
Richard McGregor there. What do you make of that observation?
Oh, well, I think he's right. The principal difference you were asking before between sort of now and sort of 5 years ago is that the United States, in a bipartisan way, has come to the decision that there is a basic strategic competition underway with China, and that's more than any other single thing underpinned the change that we're seeing in our own relationship. So Richard's right. You know, of course, we need to make sure that we don't portray ourselves as dependent on China, that we're an independent actor in our dealings with it. But there's a lot of you hear very frequently the idea that we're becoming too economically dependent on China, and that we should diversify our markets and so on. That's a terrific idea, but the reality going forward is that there is no other economy in the world where the complementarities, whether it's for energy or agriculture or services, are as deep as they are with China. So if we want to continue to prosper and to have an economy which enables us to do the sorts of things we want to do in our community, then, you know, managing the relationship with China is going to be critical to that.
And this brings us to democratic values and the influence China has had on our political system, from, you know, Labor's Sam Dastyari to now the Coalition's Gladys Liu, for example. What do you make of these cases, what they've revealed and the way we've reacted?
Well, I think they've revealed a lot. I think they've been important. I mean, it was surprising to me, for example, that we didn't have in place laws that limited foreign donations to Australian election campaigns. So I think this has been a useful focus, because there's nothing more important. There are a few things more important for our government to do than to preserve the institutions of our democracy. So, what we need is what we're slowly getting, I think, which are good laws, transparency, effective security organisations, and effective policing. But the answer to this is all in our own hands. You know, we have ways of dealing with this, and we need to take the most effective steps that we can.
How about the other issues? The Prime Minister, of course, raising this distinction between China being developed or developing. He says now they're developed. What do you make of that?
Well, look, of course, in some ways, China is still a developing country, if you use the sort of World Bank definitions of what is a developing country. But the problem for the rest of the world is one of scale. China is just so large that whenever it does something, the implications are so much broader than they are for, I don't know, Burkina Faso or something. So I think, you know, the Prime Minister was right that there are adjustments that the international rules-based order, as it applies to trade, will have to make to accommodate and deal with China. But the way to do that is through negotiation, through the existing system, rather than yelling about it.
Alan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Alan Gingell. He's the national president of the Australian Institute of International Affairs, and his essay, How to Handle China, is in the 7th edition of the Australian Foreign Affairs Journal, China Dependence, Australia's New Vulnerability. It's published today. This is RN Drive.